Everyone, greet you in Jesus' name. Good to be here again, and I enjoyed the Sunday school discussion too, and it seemed like could have went a while yet. A lot of things we can learn from the Genesis and the accounts of, there's a lot of accounts in Genesis that we can learn from, and look forward to hearing more of that in the next couple of weeks. So the message that I've chosen to bring this morning was a message that I had before at another place, and I thought I was going to be safe in bringing it here this morning, and I see I'm not. Somebody's going to get fed the same thing. That's okay, I suppose. I actually preached it last Sunday, and if I'd have known everything, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. But anyway, the title of the message this morning is "Why Am I Here?" And it was the message. As I studied this message, it was a really good subject for me to study about, and probably wouldn't have studied into this. You know, we think about that question kind of subconsciously often, at least I do. And there's a lot of books written about what's life all about, and what are we here for, and what's our purpose, what's the big deal, why did God put us here? What's the purpose for my existence? And I'd like you to think about this morning, what are your goals in life? And what do you expect to accomplish in life? And what do you really feel like God wants you to accomplish in life? And as I thought about that and contemplated that question for my own life, why, I came to the conclusion that my answer to that question and this idea of what's my purpose in life depends so much and almost entirely on what I actually believe about God and who God is. And that's the question: do you believe there is a God? And how important is God in your life? And I'm glad that I'm talking to a group of people here this morning that believe in God and that believe that God is and that God has a purpose. At least we say we believe that anyway, but we believe in God. And so I don't know how I would preach a message like this to a group of people. It would take on a little different picture. If I was preaching to a group of people that, I ain't even sure there is a God, you'd have to come at it from a little different angle. And we believe that God created the world. We believe that God created us, made us, and he decided when and where to place us. He could have put us at a lot of other places this morning. He could have placed us in a lot of other situations this morning. We could be living in Ukraine or the Gaza Strip, or there's a lot of places that we could actually be, that God could have placed us. He chose to place us right where we're at, right here. Just think for a little, suppose you weren't really convinced that there was a God, and your existence you weren't convinced that God was, and your existence was kind of a result of an accident or, just some other reason. Imagine the questions that you would have about the reason and the purpose for living. There'd be a lot of questions. If you really didn't believe in God and that he really had a plan for you, you probably wouldn't be sitting here in church this morning, I can tell you that. But the really sad part about it is that that's where the majority of people in this world are. They're trying to do life and live life, and they reject God, reject God's existence, reject the fact that God has a plan for their life, for their accountability to God. That's a sad fact. That's the world we live in. Ephesians 2 and verse 12. We have this verse. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where the vast majority of this world is. They're without hope. They have no hope because they're separated from God. And the fact is, that's where every one of us were at one point in our life. We were without God and without hope. And I'm glad that many of you have that. That's not where you are this morning. You have hope and you have a reason to live, and it's because of what happened in your heart because of Jesus Christ. So we can understand why rejecting God or refusing to believe that God exists, we can understand that that's going to result in purposeless living. We're going to go through life, wandering through life, trying to figure out who we are and what we're here for. But as a believer this morning, and as a born-again Christian, do you ever grapple? Do you ever ask that question yourself? Why am I here? Most of us here this morning, we're Christians. We have accepted Christ in our hearts. And we believe in God. Does that mean we never have that question? Why am I here? And you know, life can take on a certain amount of monotony sometimes, and we're in the middle of making a living and raising a family and taking on more and more responsibility. The older we get, it seems the more responsibility we collect and pick up and take on. And sometimes I'll admit, I ask this question: what am I really here for? And what's my reason? Why did God put me here? Is it just to make sure I can provide for my family? Is that why he placed me here? Or is it just so I can provide for myself, and when I'm done here, I have something to pass on to the next, inheritance to pass on? What's the reason I'm here for? And I believe that the answer to this question becomes, as to why I'm here, becomes a lot more clear to us when we realize that God put us here for a reason. And he put us here to contribute. He put us here to make a contribution to the society we live in. He put us here, we're naturally, we want to see what we can get out of life and see what we can get out of a situation. When we take on a venture, or we go on a venture, we want to get something out of it, and that's our natural tendency, and that's our question sometimes about life: what's in this for me? What can I get out of this? And what can I get out of life? And I believe when we change our thinking a little bit, and instead of asking what can I get out of life, we start asking, what can I contribute? What am I here for? And we'll look at this as we go throughout as we go on in the message, that God has placed us here. He has some things that he wants us to get out of life, but more than that, he has a lot of things that he wants us to contribute and serve and live for others, and we'll look at that more as we go along. This morning, if someone builds something or fabricates something, he usually has a reason for it. When God creates something, he has a reason for it too. When he created each of us individually, he had a purpose for our life. He had something that he wanted us to accomplish in this life. And I'm glad that we can go straight to God and ask him, why am I here? We can go to God and ask him that. Each of us individually, we have a creator, we have a maker, and we have his word. And that's where I intend to go this morning, to find out why we're here. And each of us, that answer is just a little different, but the principles and the things that we find in God's word help us each to answer that question individually, and that's where I want to go this morning. Praise the Lord that we don't need to wander aimlessly through life trying to guess why I might be here, but we can have a purpose. We can know why we're here, and we can find it in the word of God. Why am I here? I'd like to look at about 5 points from God's word. There's probably more. I've chosen to look at these five and make some applications. Turn first of all to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. The last book of the Bible. Revelation 4:11. This is a scene in heaven that John saw. I'm not sure who all's included in this. I believe it was part of their worship experience there. They were casting their crowns before the throne. In verse 11, they were saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Why are we here? We're here to please God and to bring honor and glory to him. That's why we're here. We're here to bring glory to God. And to me, that's the umbrella over everything else. As we go through life, let's remember, God created us to bring honor to him, to bring glory to him, to please him. And it helps, you know, I believe it answers many of life's questions. The question about why am I here, it becomes a lot more clear, and as we realize that fact, that we're here to bring honor and glory to him, and it gives us direction for the choices that we make in life. And instead of when we have a decision or a choice to make, instead of asking, what can I get out of this, or how can I make this experience make me look good? We simply ask the question, how can I bring honor and glory to God in this decision that I'm about to make? How can I glorify God in my life? We're not here to make an impression on others. We're not here to make a name for ourselves. But we're here to bring honor and glory to our Creator. That's why we're here. We have it right here in this verse. And it puts the focus and of this life on eternal things, and we realize that we're not our own. We are not here to serve ourselves, but we're here to bring honor and glory to God. And you know, sometimes we struggle to find fulfillment in life, and you know, maybe we wonder if the job we have, the occupation that we're a part of, maybe we wonder about the church we're a part of, the place I live, is this really where God wants me? Or did he have in mind much bigger things for me and I'm just not seeing it? You know, sometimes we ask that question and, you know, we think about, you know, maybe life would be a lot more fulfilling if I'd have made a couple, my choices back there would have been just a little bit different. And you know, maybe God was trying to, you know, and we can think all those things. And I believe it's right for us to entertain questions like that from time to time, that we actually take stock of our life and we think about, is this really where God wants me? And have I really followed God's direction in life? And I think there's a certain, that can be something to consider sometimes. But the bigger challenge that I believe we need to challenge ourselves with is, am I bringing honor and glory to God right where I'm at right now? Okay, I may have made some wrong choices in it. Maybe I've made some wrong choices in my past, and I should have done some things different. But am I bringing glory to God today, where I'm at? And in spite of my wrong choices, I can change, and I can live for God today, and I can be my brother's keeper today, and I can reach out, be an encouragement to those around me today. And I can serve today. And that's the challenge I'd like to leave with you. Instead of looking back in our lives and thinking, how different things could be if I'd only done some things different back then. Those things are, we need to make right the wrongs that we've done. But those are in the past. We're living today. Let's bring glory to God today where we are and make the best of today. Our lives take on a whole different perspective when our goal is to bring honor and glory to God. Number two, why am I here? Let's go to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And I'd like to look at verses 27 and 28. We just looked at this in our Sunday school lesson a couple of weeks ago. These verses, verse 27 and 28 of Genesis 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Also over to chapter 2 and verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. Why am I here? Why God put me here to be a steward of his creation. God was very clear right in the beginning that he put man in the garden. Verse 28, he says, you're here to subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. Verse 15 of chapter 2, he put Adam in the garden to dress and to keep it. And there's some balance there. Verse 28, it's the subdue and have dominion. Verse 15, it's dress it and keep it. And God put us here to restrain and profit from his creation. But we're also called to be a protector and to make wise choices with the resources that he gives us. And to many in our world today, nature has become their God. And as God's people, nature is a resource, and God calls us to be stewards of it. And that means using it to serve him and being careful not to waste it and abuse it. And I probably don't need to explain how mixed up the world is that we live in, and all the environmental ideas that people have, and the climate change, and all these things. Let's remember that God has called us to be stewards of his creation. The point of being stewards is important. And there's a lot of people in our world that believe that you and I are just part of the ecosystem. We're just another, we're no different than the animals or the worms or the plants or We're just part of the ecosystem. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that he created man and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. Man has a soul, and he's not just part of the ecosystem, but he's the crowning work of God's creation. And he has a soul that's going to live on and on and on and on forever. And God has given us the responsibility of subduing his creation, having dominion over it, profiting from it, and caring for it. And we're more than just another animal. We're more than just part of the ecosystem, but we're God's creation. We're created in the image of God, and he's called us to be stewards of the rest of his creation. Number three, let's turn to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17, this is Paul talking to the people of Athens on Mars Hill. And he gives us another reason why we're here. 17 and verse 30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. God, why are we here? We're here to be reconciled back to God. Romans 3 and verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are sinners, every one of us. Every person that ever walked the face of this earth is a sinner, was a sinner, and has sinned. All have sinned. And the thing about sin is that sin brings, back in the Garden of Eden, when God created man, Adam and Eve walked in the garden, they had fellowship with God, they had a relationship. When the devil came and tempted Eve, and Adam and Eve made a choice against God, that's where sin entered the world. And there was a separation, and that relationship was gone. There was not a man, no longer had a relationship with God anymore. And that's the thing about sin, is it has brought a separation in our relationship with God. Every one of us, apart from Jesus Christ, we have no relationship with God. And it's impossible apart from the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. I'll just read you that verse. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord isn't slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants reconciliation. God wants us to repent and accept the work of Jesus Christ so that we can have a relationship with him. That's really what he wants. That's why he put us here, because He wanted fellowship. He wanted a relationship. And so God wants us to be reconciled back to him. And this morning, one of the reasons I'm here is God is giving me the opportunity to be reconciled back to him. And that reconciliation takes place only as we repent and as we accept the provision that Jesus Christ has made available to us through his shed blood, to come back to God. And that is the most important decision that you'll ever make, is to accept the provision of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of really important decisions in this life, but there's not one that's as important as that one. It makes a difference in how you view life, how you do life, and it makes the difference where you'll spend eternity. It makes the difference whether you'll spend eternity in the presence of God or not. And that's, let's believe that. Let's remember that is the most important decision. If we miss this one, and if we miss it here, and we decide to reject Christ, why life becomes a frustration. And we see that in the world around us. That's how many people live. They live frustrated, purposeless lives because they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and in turn, they don't have a relationship with God. Number four, 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 18 to 20. Some more familiar verses here. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Why am I here? To be an ambassador for Christ. Not only did I need to be reconciled back to God, not only does God want me here to in this life to be reconciled to him, but he wants me here to call others to be reconciled to Christ. And he put us here as his witnesses, as his ambassadors, and we're to represent him here in this world, and we're called to reach out to others. And what Jesus did for me, he can do for you. And the problems you face in life, God cares about them. And we're out to be ambassadors for Christ. We're not only are we here to experience reconciliation, but we're here to call others to repentance and to be reconciled to God. What a message that is. What a message we have to share. And so often we're some mum and bashful about it. And Kurt talked about shuffling onto Zion. And I think that's a little how we do sometimes. We shuffle to Zion instead of march to Zion. Listen, we have the answer. Well, we don't have the answer, but we know where the answer can be found to every single person that walks the face of this earth. They got problems. And there's answers to be found. Let's tell them where to find them. Let's point them to Jesus Christ. Let's take them to the Word of God. And we're ambassadors for him. Let's not be bashful. Doesn't that give purpose and meaning to life? Knowing that we've got something that can change, you know, if you see somebody facing an issue or a problem, and you've been there and done that, and you found the fix, doesn't it kind of give you a sense of purpose? If you can go to that person and say, you know what, I used to have that problem too, no more. Here's what you do about it. And it sort of gives you a little feeling of purpose and importance. And that's how it is in relation to the gospel. It's not something that we have in and of ourselves. But what Christ has done for us, he can do for others. Let's share that. That gives us purpose. Knowing that this message that we have to share can be helpful to every other person. That's purpose. That's purposeful living right there. The last one, John chapter 13. We read this one just a couple weeks ago in our communion and feet washing service. John chapter 13, verses 12 to 17. You know the story here about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I'd like to start at verse 12. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Why am I here? I'm here to follow in Jesus' example of serving others. That's why one of the reasons God has put us here is to serve, to be servants. And in this passage, Jesus gives a beautiful example of serving others. You know, when you look at that passage, and I think of this every time, when Jesus washed, I think it was the 12 disciples that were there with him when he went around and washed their feet. And in just a couple of hours, Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. Judas was sitting here, Peter was sitting here, and all the other 10 disciples were sitting there. Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. He had already made his mind up that that's what he was going to do. And Jesus knew it. And he knelt in front of Judas and he washed his feet. And in just a little, he was going to warn Peter that before daylight tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter passed it off. And that's exactly what happened. And all the other 10 disciples, when they saw this thing's closing in on Jesus, they picked up and ran. And Jesus got in front of them and washed their feet, served them. Our natural tendency is to want to be served and to ask the question, what can I get out of this? And what's in this for me? And if we do serve, we have a bunch of strings attached. And I'll serve, but then I expect this in return. Jesus served with no strings attached. He served these men not because of what they were or how good they were, but he served them in spite of their failures and in spite of what was about to take place. Jesus' word to us is this morning, you want to find purpose and fulfillment in life, then look for ways to serve. Verse 17, I think, sums it all up. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you serve and you live in service for others, that happy are ye if you do them. To me, that's purposeful living. And that gives life. That's a person that has purpose in life is a happy person. And that's what brings purpose is living for the good of others. Philippians 2. Let's just turn to that. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 7. And this is Paul talking about Christ's service. Service that Christ rendered to others. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. These verses call us to have a mind like Jesus had. And the mind that Jesus had, if we have the mind that Jesus had, it's going to call us to look for ways to serve others. And our tendency is to do, like verse 4 says, we tend to, it says, look not every man on his own things. That's exactly what we tend to do. We tend to look on our own things. And we tend to, how can I see to it that my needs are met? The things that I want to accomplish, how can I make sure that happens? Paul says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let's make sure that that's our goal, is to serve others. We tend to give of our time and our service to others if there's anything left over when we're done. And you know, that doesn't happen very often. So I'm done serving myself and making sure I accomplish everything that I want to accomplish in life, there's just not going to be a lot of time to serve anyone else. Following Jesus' example and teaching really does bring purpose and fulfillment to life. This morning, God intends that you live life with purpose and that you find fulfillment in life. He doesn't really want you wandering about in life, wondering what you're here for and if there's a reason for living. That's not why you're here, why He has placed you here. Life can be purposeful. It can be that way when we follow God's plan for our life, and we really, truly can find purpose in our lives when we surrender our lives to His service. We surrender ourselves to God completely and ask Him what He wants us to do. God bless us each as we find that way and find the reason for His placing us where He has. Let's kneel for prayer.